Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Wednesday afternoon, everybody. Well, it's the morning, but it feels like afternoon. I've been up. Getting ready for the show.
So I can go to sleep. I woke up at 2:48. I just couldn't go back to sleep. I took a pain medicine for this. I had a pinched nerve in my back that was, it hurt like I couldn't breathe. And I was like, this must be what it felt like when John had that broken rib.
And then you just decided to shave your head then.
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't do it. That was...
He shaved his head in the middle of the night.
That's Elise. My barber, Elise. I have a black barber, Dell, so Elise shaved my head. She gave me a low taper.
See?
Everything. It wasn't even a fade.
What does that mean?
Shows that Dell's got a white guy named Harold who cuts his
hair. Mine's from Cambodia.
Harold Rothstein cuts Dell's hair.
Oh.
Yours is from Cambodia?
Cambodia. Okay. Visal. Yeah.
Okay.
She's from Cambodia. And so I don't know. Does that make me not have a cool fade like Lance?
Well, he doesn't have a duck cool tail. Fade.
I do have a duck tail.
Yeah. Lance doesn't have a cool fade.
Look good.
I did. Now I just told her, just give me a one all the way around.
Wow. What did Nicole say?
No, she said, I'm going to do something else. She said, pretty much one, but I just need to do one little thing. I said, okay, whatever you want, Elise. You're the best.
Yeah.
It's a little expensive for what I'm getting now. So if I'm going to start getting this.
You have to do that yourself.
You have to be a home cut.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I ain't paying that anymore.
Nicole was happy?
Not exceptionally. I put it up for debate in the family text string, and Alex said, yes, do it. Come home. Because he calls it coming home. I guess that's a phrase. He said, come home.
Well, because...
And Nicole said, nope, don't do it. And Mason said, yeah, it's time, Dad, all the way down, do it. And Nicole said, I'm the wife. I'm the only one that matters.
And she didn't.
And she lost. I said, well, I didn't. And then I got home, and they're like... Alec goes, take a picture. And I did, and he goes, prove it. Oh, I sent the song Coming Home it's actually Diddy. I thought it was Eminem and Skylar Grey. And so the song goes, I'm coming home, I'm coming home. I think Dell has that for some reason in the system. And Alec said, prove it. And I took a picture and sent it.
And
Mason said, he didn't. Because Alec said... No, it's supposed to be shiny. If you come home, you're supposed to be shiny. It's all the way down. I'm like, well, I didn't do that. And
you didn't do that.
He goes, shave the rest of it off. I'm like, no.
Well, no, because mom.
Yeah, still trying to get something.
Because nachos.
I'm still trying to do stuff.
It's hard to eat nachos when you're...
Hard to do stuff.
Right. So,
she's just going to have to live with it. It ain't coming back, so... She's going to have to figure it out.
So she will just have to
figure it out, won't she?
Or
I'll just have to.
Won't she?
I'll just have
just
to.
Just figure it out, Nicole.
I'll just have to be busier than usual.
Okay. So how about this? All kinds of stats are coming out. There are teams. Okay. Run pressures allowed. It's a graph. Pressures allowed on the left, and on the bottom, running backs rush yards before contact per carry. Which quadrant are the Texans in?
All right, say it again. What are the quadrants?
Well, pressure allowed.
You like to be far right and up, right?
Well, this one's far right and low. because you don't want pressures allowed.
Oh, pressures allowed.
Right.
And then RBC, which
running
is,
backs,
which is yards
contact.
Before contact. Which this is supposed to be an offensive line metric.
Right.
I would say yards before contact is, you know, I don't think it's that terrible, actually. And then pressures has come down. I don't know. I think they're okay.
They're in the best quadrant.
Are
with
they?
The best O-lines.
See, this gets to the point that you and I have been talking about. It isn't quite as bad as people think. Now,
it was early.
Yeah, the pressures numbers were, but it still felt like a lot of that was based on
listen,
blitzes.
The first couple of games weren't good.
No.
The last three.
But it wasn't a unit breakdown. There were individual breakdowns. Yeah. Like, Lakin Tomlinson was playing terrible.
Yeah, but.
Ursary had issues, and then blitzes really hurt them for a couple weeks.
So the best offensive lines are the Jaguars, the Cowboys, the Lions, the Bills, the Texans, or the Broncos allow zero pressure. Apparently zero pressure.
Wow.
And they're pretty good at run blocking as well. The Panthers, the Colts, and the Cardinals are all in that quadrant. The worst offensive lines, the worst by far is the Browns and the Packers. And then
the Packers too.
Yeah, the Raiders, the Bengals, the Chargers, but the Chargers got injuries. That's why.
Yeah, Chargers have. Yeah,
the
Chargers now have both starting tackles.
Really good pass pro, but terrible run. Steelers, the Dolphins, and
the Dolphins don't.
The Dolphins. The better run blocking.
So I would think the Colts. Where are the Colts? They're
the
not
Colts are in with the Texans.
Okay, I didn't hear that.
Good
game,
one.
Yeah.
The Jets are much better at run blocking than pass blocking. They're terrible. And the Ravens are not good either.
So I saw a stat. Speaking of the Jets, did you see this? Let me make sure this is true. Because Now, the very first game against the Steelers, I thought Justin Fields looked pretty good against the Steelers. Oh, no. You know what? Who had that stat? Somebody had that dumb stat when Justin plays the whole game. You know, he doesn't have any interceptions this year, Justin Fields. And
does he throw the ball a lot? He runs usually when he drops back.
Well, and it's in his four games this year. Let me see all. When I see all, remember he only played in four games. He threw for 283, 226, and 218. Completion percentage of 69.6, 74.1, and 72.7. Like, actually, four touchdowns, no interceptions. And in the one game against Buffalo where he got hurt, 3 of 11 for 27 yards. Actually, Justin Fields has not really been the problem here.
Yeah, no. They got
But you said the offensive line has been better against the run.
They're much better running than pass blocking. Yeah.
And some of that, I wonder how much of that is Fields hanging on to the ball.
Could be.
But he didn't have any interceptions, but they're 0-5. It doesn't matter. Who cares? It's their defense, which is actually a bigger problem for
them. The Texans, by far the best defense in the league, giving up an average of 12 points per game. The Ravens, 35 per game. I mean, per game for the Texans.
The Ravens have allowed over 40 twice already in five games.
Yeah.
And the other two were in the 30s.
Expected points on special teams, okay. Weeks, okay. Expected points on special teams. High is really good. Low is really bad. The Saints are the worst special team.
Texans are going to be good.
Texans are the best in the league.
Texans are good.
Texans are best in the special teams and defense.
They're 2-3. This is what they get. This is what they're saying. You know, with just a couple plays, we'd be 5-0.
Just a couple plays.
That's what we always say. Just a couple plays.
And then.
So why are they 2-3 then?
Because the offense sucked in the first couple of games.
First 3.5.
Splash plays defensively. Splash plays, now sacks, pressures, tackles, interceptions, forced fumbles.
I don't feel like there's
fumble recoveries. Individuals, number one in the league, and by far, Will Anderson.
He's my defense player of the year.
23.6%.
Although I don't feel like does he have enough sacks though? Because right now Devin Lloyd is defensive player of the year.
Well, pressure, when you're talking about pressures, tackles for loss or no game, interceptions, passes defended, tackles on third. He's number one, 23.6%. Nick Benito's second at 19.9%.
He's on pace for about 10 sacks, Will Anderson. He's got 3 right now.
Yeah, he'll probably pick it up, though.
Yeah, he's going to have a chance.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if he doesn't hit a nice run with three sacks, two sacks, three sacks. James Houston, Micah Parsons is fourth. Bryce Huff. Yeah, and look at Myles Garrett is down. Will Anderson is making big plays, although he's not called nearly as much as, you know. I mean, Danielle Hunter is getting
sacked.
I hear
Hunter's name way more.
Hunter, yeah, yeah. And yet he's making plays. He's making,
well, because Will's a legit run defender too, so that adds to it. Like Will can defend the run now.
Yeah,
Danielle Hunter's not a great run defender. Yeah, Danielle Hunter has four sacks. He's got one more.
Yeah. So this is the Texans are. It's a yeah, and 2-3, and 2-3. Boy, did they waste? Have they been wasting this defensive effort? And I think the answer is a clear yes. You know, like again, they were a play away with Dari fumbling the ball. They were a play away with Nico fumbling the ball.
The killer to me was, I'm not wanting to count the Rams. The killer to me was that Tampa Bay game. Because you were going, that's Dari, right? Where you got
no,
Dari
was the Rams. Nico.
Oh, that was the punch out. Oh, it was Nico. And then defensively. They spit the bed against Tampa defensively.
Yeah, they just let him go down the field and win.
Yeah.
But that's Baker. You know what Baker does? He wins in the fourth quarter.
I don't know why they're not putting him for
the
MVP
show before ours. And I don't know. It's hard to argue with what has he got, four game-winning drives in the fourth quarter this year? It's hard to argue. Canty was saying the number one, I'll take him. Well, he said Jalen Hurts first. But Baker, if I've got to have a game-winning drive, Baker Mayfield's the guy I want.
I mean, it's
hard to argue.
It's getting hard to argue.
It is hard to argue.
He's got one interception all year long, and this guy, I mean, his pass attempts, 33, 40, 29, 38, 32. He's got one. His interception percentage is really low. I mean, he's only got one. I'd have to see what the stats say on that. But only one interception, I mean, that is interception percentage is, where is it? Well, it's 2.6 right now. No, that's for his career. It's 0.6 this year. That's as low as he's ever had. So he's really matured, really matured as a quarterback. It's fun. It's a fun story. Speaking of quarterbacks.
Well, Nico, by the way, Nico was against Jacksonville, the fumble.
The fumble
was against Jacksonville. The Texans had the lead late against Tampa and just spit the bit on the, yeah.
There wasn't a turnover. It was just defensive breakdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, mistakes. You know, all you needed is one of those. If you get one of those, then you're 3-2. And you're sitting in a lot different position. Right now, you're sitting in a tough position because you got, you know, you're going to have to really get to work against Jacksonville. The next game, you must beat Jacksonville. And really, you know, I'd say you need to sweep Tennessee, and you got to do no worse than split with the Colts. And then you're going to have to beat Seattle. You're going to probably have to beat San Francisco. Like, you've got your work cut out for you. There is an outside chance that three playoff teams comes from the AFC South. There's that chance. I mean, depending on what happens with New England, depending on what happens with, you know, do you know the Ravens are still one of the favorites to win a division? That's madness to me. Madness. I just think the Steelers, all they have to do is just boat race, and they're going to beat the Ravens.
And in the West,
you know.
Wait a minute. The Ravens are one of the favorites to win the division.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. Well, I mean, is Pittsburgh going to.
Well, that's the thing. It's not going to be Cincinnati, although Cincinnati traded for Joe Flacco yesterday.
Yeah.
The Browns at one point had four quarterbacks. Now they're down to two, basically. And Shedeur Sanders is now the backup to, I would assume, the backup to Dylan Gabriel. And the two veterans are already out. They're already out. Kenny Pickett was traded before the season, and now Joe Flacco was dealt to the Bengals. And we were talking about it yesterday. You know, it's probably too expensive to get Kirk Cousins from a draft standpoint, so you just go with Joe Flacco. I don't think the Browns really care about trading inside the division. I think they're like, just take him. That's fine.
He ain't playing no more here.
It's not going to be a big
713 problem. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got a lot of Nick Caserio sound that we're going to break down in this show. And we got a
NFL
whole
divisions. Here it is. Baltimore Ravens are +110, Steelers -110. And then for your Houston Texans.
Well, the other teams are not any good.
Actually, the Texans don't have they don't have the Texans listed on here. They don't have the AFC South. That's the only one. Why would they not have the AFC South on here? Is there an injury?
It's too hard to call. Too tough to call right
now. Too tough to call?
Yeah.
Because that's the only
They don't
division.
Want to put a number on with the Texans lurking. They don't want to put a number.
The 49ers are even money right now to win the West, followed by the Rams at plus 170.
Well, yeah. The Rams are only a game.
Tampa's a big favorite. The Lions are a small favorite over the Packers. Eagles are 190. Washington's plus 190. And then the Bills are pretty big favorite, minus 500 over the New England Patriots, man. What a – we saw you and I were at Denise Highsmith's memorial yesterday. Our friend Alonzo Highsmith, longtime Houstonian, Houston Oiler, his wife passed away, and we were there. I saw Elliot Wolf, who is the general manager over there, flew down and talked to him very, very briefly, congratulated him on the game. But that was a sad day, but also, like, there was some uplifting stuff, too.
Oh, my goodness. It was
a fountain of praise. Unfortunately, yeah. That's the second my good friend Rodney Williams lost a daughter, and he had his her ceremony's fountain of praise. And man, it was like
it's
more joyous.
Yeah,
there's more celebration of life element there.
Jordan Highsmith, Alonzo's daughter, had me. It was tough.
I thought Jordan, AJ, and Alonzo,
and they
were all
great.
They were all great.
Yeah, and Denise was great.
And honoring her.
She was a very good friend. And it was a tough day. It was a tough day. But there was some really good uplifting parts. The priest that came from the University of Miami.
Yeah, she was Pastor Ray.
Yeah, he was great. He was great.
And there was a lady behind me who caught the Holy Ghost. I know you know who I'm talking about. She caught the full-on Holy Ghost explosion.
During that song?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
There was a song. There was a hymn. She caught the Holy Ghost explosion.
Right behind you.
Right behind me. And I'm not going to turn and look. And as an older lady, and she caught the Holy Ghost, and she was yelling out.
On.
And then when everything was finished, she kept yelling out for like 40 seconds straight. And I'm like, I mean, the Holy Ghost is in her. What do you want me to do?
What are you going
to
do?
I'm just going to sit here and just mind
you
my business.
Did you catch the Holy Ghost? No.
I was subduing the Holy Ghost a little bit. I'm like, I didn't feel like I haven't. And she just goes, tell it! Tell it all! And I'm like, oh, she's really got the Holy Ghost.
She did.
Yeah.
Caught the Holy Ghost right there, right in front of us. Yep, saw it. So, all right, 716 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Little Allstate Windows and Siding.
Allstate Windows and Siding. Allstate Windows and Siding. It's a family owned company, and Mary's terrific. Mary Phillip, the whole family. I've known them for a while, and I love that they're family based because it means more when families own a company. It just means more because it's all they do. It's what they do. It consumes them. They're wearing the shirts all the time. And so you know customer service is going to be great. You know that their name and their word really matters. So when they're taking out the glass, there's no glass breakage. When they're installing windows, it's done professionally, courteously, cleanly. When they're doing siding jobs, I had a siding job done by them for years ago before I even started speaking for them. And they kept everything so nice and tidy. Like everything was the way it was supposed to be. And the work was great. Made my house look, it just new siding jobs and new windows. Just, it's a tremendous facelift for your home. Just makes it look way better. It can also improve your energy efficiency as well, up to 40%. And they're giving big discounts for ESPN 97.5 listeners. So make sure that you, 30% discounts off of those windows when you get a minimum of 10. And if you're a veteran or a senior citizen, or you want to pay in cash, there's an even bigger discount. So make sure that Allstate Windows is the name that you choose for your windows. They'll come out to your home right now. They'll measure it up and give you an estimate for you on windows or siding or both. No payments, no interest for a full 12 months. It's AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, get Damian in here in a second. But I just saw this. 52% of American schools and districts have begun rolling out a new program called Equitable Grading. Equitable Grading. Students will have unlimited test retakes, no zeros for missing work, no homework. Homework is excluded from final grades. No late penalties, no required participation.
No required participation?
None. So
they're not going to school.
Yeah. Well, basically, you don't have to do anything.
Basically, you don't have to go to school.
And you get it's grade equity.
We don't have that in HISD, thankfully. But there are a lot of soft-ass. And it's not just HISD.
Didn't the state take over HISD?
Yeah. It did. But this has been going on where you have you get test retakes. I mean, I don't mind that so much. You get one test retake. They have that in college for Alec.
Unlimited test retake.
Yeah, well, they don't have that here. And the zeros, you can still turn it in. Like, the best grade you can get is something like a 70, I think. We had, if you caught a zero, you caught a zero. And that was I got a no pass, no play where I couldn't play basketball for 6 weeks because I had two zeros because I was.
Why did you have two zeros?
Because I just put stuff off. I just didn't do it.
And you're going to get on snacks?
It was in English.
And you're going to get on snacks?
Yeah. Don't be like me.
Maybe it's in his jeans.
I don't tell him all that. Yeah, it's definitely his.
Maybe it's in his jeans. Definitely is. Maybe he's listening right now going, see? Do you know where I learned it, Dad? I learned it from you.
Let me tell you what happened. When I didn't get to play basketball for 6 weeks. Oh, it never happened again. That was my sophomore year. Oh, it never happened again after that.
Is snacks a dirty Mac or two?
No. He's a little different.
It's in his genes.
No, he's not a dirty Macer. Maybe Mason is. But snacks is more. He just wants to choke everything right now. He gets behind his mom and puts her in choke holds, and she pinches and scratches him, and he's like, you can't do that.
Oh, yeah, you can.
I'm like, I have to say, can you please stop trying to put your mom in choke holds?
That's it.
I have to say that at my house.
Ooh, I got something for Longhorn Scott. Let's get Damian in here first, though, and then we got Longhorn Scott.
Hello, love the show. I just want to, do y'all think Nick Caserio will make a trade for the trade deadline? And thank you for taking my call, and I hang up and listen.
I don't know what position.
What would you like, Damian?
I'd like an offensive lineman, but I don't think they're going to trade for an offensive lineman.
You want them to trade?
I mean, maybe another running back, maybe a tight end.
I could see them maybe doing something. I don't think it's going to be a priority pickup. I think it would be more like a. I think it would be
a
more like
rounder.
I just think it would be a depth. You know, running back, no, they still love Dari. They've got plenty of running backs. They're not just going to give away
a Dari didn't even see in the field. But,
well, no, that's why they've bought, like, the only running back you'd add is for depth, to get a third running back.
And we got an update on Joe Mixon, by the way.
Did we?
Yeah. Well, we'll find. We're going to take a look at him in 3 weeks.
For three or four weeks, and then we'll look again. Yeah. Well, that means no Joe Mixon.
Yeah, right.
But they like Woody Marks and Nick Chubb. I don't see them adding a third running back.
I could see it. I don't know about all. You know what? Guys, we got to get off this offensive line.
They're not going to do anything.
We got to get off this offensive line narrative. It's better. It just is. Okay? Let's just say it. It's one of the better offensive lines in the league right now. All right?
Well,
It actually is grading out
based on quadrants,
as one of the better.
Okay, do you
top third?
All right, I'm gonna. That's fine. We'll grade. Now I want to do John Granato eyeball test. When you watch the games, do you feel like they're one of the better offensive lines? It has been better. Do you feel like they're one of the best? You said one of the best offensive lines.
I said they're in the top third. Yeah,
top 11.
I mean, they're great
offensive
now
lines.
Like that. I mean, and listen. They're trending
I think they're in the middle.
They're trending really well. They were bad.
They're trending bad.
They were real bad, and now they're much better.
Now, a lot of times it helps to have the right kind of running back who can get yards for them.
One of the reasons they're in that top quadrant of not getting touched before, you know, the how long it takes to touch you is because Woody Marks is finding some real slivers and sneaking through
them. But I'm going to tell you, I also think Jake Andrews, I think the offensive line coach has done a better job. Their technique and run blocking is way better. Jake Andrews has been, I've mentioned this a few times. When I watch him, I'm like, Jake Andrews getting movement. Like, their double teams are getting movement, and they're reestablishing offensive line, which makes it easier. They're two. A lot of times you'll have Nick Chubb or Woody Marks 2+ yards before anyone can even think about touching it.
Yeah.
And a good yards per carry, yards before contact in the NFL, you want it up over 2 yards. You want it to be about 2.2, 2.3. I don't know where the Texans are, but you know, there's a lot of colleges I see that are 1.7, 1.5. The Longhorns are like 1.5. They're awful. And yeah. and it checks out when you watch on TV. It's like, yeah, this sucks.
I want to play this before Longhorn Scott comes on, because this is something I think it's special, and I think it's something that he should address. Here is Baker Mayfield.
You come to Oklahoma to beat Texas.
Yeah.
I was born and raised in Austin. They didn't recruit me. Grew up 15 miles from their campus. I can't stand them. And anything they do, I don't care. You know, talk to the NFL guys. They say I have to calm it down a little bit. But when it comes to Texas, absolutely not. I can't stand them. But, no, just end of story. Put that one on Twitter. Put that one on Twitter.
And he ended up being
the first. And it was. That's where I found it.
He ended up being the first pick of the draft.
Listen, Heisman Trophy, first pick of the draft. And one of the best quarterbacks in the league can't stand Texas. And let's bring in Longhorn Scott now. He can't stand you, and maybe specifically you, Longhorn Scott.
Put it on Twitter, he said.
That's right.
Well, I'll say this. Baker Mayfield is proof that being white trash is not undone by having considerable wealth. I mean, growing up in Lake Travis ISD, clearly his family had money. But that's if you needed the proof that the demarcation between being white trash or not is not net worth. He's the guy. I mean, this is pure white trash. Now, you're supposed to hate Texas if you're OU, and guess what? I think OU is straight trash top to bottom. I mean, there's no coincidence, guys, and think about this anecdotally, right? Think about the number of people you know today versus 20 years ago whose kids are going to OU from Houston. Is there any coincidence that the rise of the Texas students going to OU is also aligned with the rise of equitable grading? I mean, we used to say, if you didn't get your grades up, you'll have to get your guns up. But now they're just bypassing Lubbock, and they're going straight to Norman. They're like, hey, there's an Applebee's and an Olive Garden. Like, this is a lively nightlife there in Norman. It's a great place, you know? Mayfield is, he is such smooth trash, and he's a perfect face for that program. So, but, by the way, John, you just sounded like, you know, describing the Texans' O-line. You know, they're pretty good right now. You sounded like me after the San Jose State, UTEP, and Sam Houston State game. Yeah, you know, they're good right now. clearly, I was wrong. And I think so too may you be. But I digress. Here's the thing. I'm looking for thoughtful analysis, which I can typically get from y'all to some extent. Texas wins Saturday, regardless of the outcome. They'll always be an inferior school from an inferior state. But, you know, Texas wins the game, and here's why. Anybody that has any kind of football acumen or has watched the game thoughtfully and watched Texas play the other day will tell you that Arch Manning actually played pretty damn well. Now, he wasn't perfect, for sure. But considering the pressure that guy was facing and his movement in the pocket, stepping up, hit some nice throws, our defense has something to prove after the way they showed up on Saturday. I expect them to have a chip on their shoulder and play the way they normally do. And they're a unit that, with a chip on their shoulder and with something to prove, can step up and prove it. Our O-line is going to be the deal. I expect a tight game. Hell, it probably is going to take a defensive or special team score. The Texas wins this game, and Mateer's obviously playing. I mean, the worst-kept secret in the world is that Mateer's not playing. I mean, hey, no, we don't know. I mean, Mateer's playing. He is their whole thing. They're like, not only are we going to get a transfer quarterback, we're going to bring his OC along. We got to have a lock, stock, 2 smoking barrels to give ourselves the best chance. This is everything for Venables. It ain't happening. Texas wins.
OU sucks. And what say you?
That's okay.
Texas is a one-point favorite in that one, John.
That's a little surprising. But, you know, their defense is really
surprising. It's lower than what because Josh Pate told us 2 weeks ago that he talked to his guys at FanDuel.
With your human eyes, who's the better team?
With my human eyes, I would definitely say Oklahoma.
Oklahoma's better.
Yeah. Now, that's a 100% with Mateer in there.
Yeah, right. So, exactly. Right. Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
I would say Mateer is priced in here at minus one. Mateer's return is priced into this. And so this is basically a pick'em. It's basically a pick'em. We know it's neutral. We know it's evenly split. You know, Texas does have a good defense, but they didn't look so hot last game. And you talked about Arch Manning playing better. He played better in the fourth quarter. He played better in the fourth quarter. And then you said, you know, because when he was running for his life, that ain't changing. He's going to keep running for his life. It doesn't change against Oklahoma. Oklahoma's got a good front seven or front six. It's not going to be any different against Oklahoma. Your offensive line is still your offensive line, and this is a subpar unit for Texas. So Arch Manning is going to continue to run for his life. This is where Sark is going to have to game plan. At some point, he's going to have to game plan for Arch as a runner. At some point, he's got to say, Arch is a dual threat quarterback. He's not a pocket passer. He's not an elite thrower. He's a below average passer. He has below average capabilities getting through progressions and throwing with accuracy and placement. What he can do, he's a big boy that can run and he's tough. Get his ass on the move. I'm sorry, turn him into Tebow. You better start doing something that helps you win instead of thinking you're going to develop Arch into the next, you know, first pick of the draft, because that's not happening. So you better do what he does best, which is run the football and put him in less position to sit back there with an offensive line that can't protect.
Yep, let's break. 713-780-3776. I think we're going to have some responses to Longhorn Scott.
You do?
I believe. Every time he does create quite the storm. So let's see if you guys want to, if you have the same opinion or a differing opinion, then Scott, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776. If you have an injury, it's John Daspit.
Yeah, John Daspit, the biggest personal injury lawyer here in the city of Houston, one of the biggest in the state. I think he's second biggest in the state. And that's just from like the amount of lawyers he has. In terms of settlements, I mean, John gets some monster settlements because he's dealt with a lot of people who have dealt with some really serious accidents. He's along the Gulf Coast, and so he does refinery blasts and offshore oil rig accidents and things that can be, loss of life, unfortunately, and he has to step in and help families on that one. Loss of limb, loss of the ability to work physically. It's a physical labor job, and you can't do it anymore. You better have John Daspit there fighting for you and his lawyers, because what they do is they make sure that they're going to take care of you for life. They're going to get settlements that help you for life. All of your, of course, the medical bills and everything that comes with it. For some people, it'll be lifelong physical therapy. That has to be accounted for. Your inability to work anymore, that has to be accounted for. And then, of course, your pain and suffering is going to be accounted for as well. So John Daspit gets big settlements. He wins at an insanely high rate, and he doesn't let the insurance companies push you around. He will not do that. He bullies the bully. That's what he does for you. 713 call now. That's the phone number. Should be a no-brainer when you're injured in any type of an accident at all. The first number to call is 713 call now. That's 713 call now or DaspitLaw.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and
92.5. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. We had Longhorn Scott call in. Does anybody want to get in here and talk about the OU Texas game this week? OU and Texas this week. Tell who you like in that one.
I need to see if Mateer steps on that.
So field. You don't like him if Mateer doesn't play?
I don't trust Hawkins, the guy who would play. Yeah. I would take Texas if Mateer doesn't play.
Okay.
Yeah, I would too, but I, you know.
Mateer permitting, you got Longhorns? I mean, you got Oklahoma?
If Mateer is a go and he can do all the things that they have to have him do to make that offense work, like running the football, He has to be. We talk about Arch, that has to be a big part. They don't work if he's not running the ball, Mateer. So yeah. If he can do that and not be a pure drop back passer, I like Oklahoma.
What's his injury?
It's a hand.
Hand injury.
Hand. Broken. So he can run still.
So. Yeah, but if they're afraid.
So it's not throwing.
It's his right hand.
It is his throwing, yeah.
So if they're fearful of putting him in in contact, is going to exacerbate or re-injure himself, then maybe they don't run him as much. But if he's a full go, then I like Oklahoma.
Okay.
Yeah, I do too.
If
but
he
it's
can
a
throw
hard one.
And run.
If they, but, yeah, but they got to incorporate the running game.
But, you know, people talk about Texas. You know, the narrative is Texas offensive line is so bad. They're so trash. They're so terrible. And anywhere you go, just the average fan will say that. But like you mentioned, if you actually watch, you know that that's actually kind of a narrative that's pushed, but it's not really accurate. I think they're average. I think they're an average offensive line, which I'm okay with
Who,
at this
Longhorns?
Stage. No, the Texans.
Oh, the Texans.
The Texans.
Oh,
okay. I think they're an average offensive line.
Okay.
And that's fine. I'll take it. They're not trash, and they're not, oh, my God, we've got to get rid. We need to draft five new.
But,
you know, you go talk
but
to
what
somebody.
What about the narrative about Texas's offensive line?
That's the problem is what you say about the Texans is actually true about Texas. It's not changing.
Yeah.
It won't change. There's no magic bullet that's coming.
Right.
They got guys who do not fire off and hit people. They don't move people. Their issues are real,
yeah.
And it's a real problem, and it's not going to change. And Oklahoma brought back a ton of starters up front. They have a couple portal guys that are good. Like, you know, do you see what they did to Bryce Underwood in Michigan?
Yeah.
They were on him. Yeah. And that Michigan offensive line is much better than Texas. So and frankly, Bryce Underwood is better than Arch Manning. And the
Bryce
running
Underwood
game can't get going.
That game.
He did. No, he wasn't ready. But I didn't think he was going to be ready for that. Was going to be a hard game for him to step into. But he's more talented than Arch.
Yeah. Oh wow.
You don't think he's more talented? What's Arch talented at?
Arch is.
Bryce Underwood was a
Arch
five
is a
star.
Manning.
Wait
a minute. Who are the Underwoods? Okay. They're in
the Underwoods are where
Fletch.
Fletch put his club sandwich on their bill.
Are they a Manning? No.
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 Wait, you don't think Bryce Underwood's more talented than Arch Manning? What talent have you seen from Arch Manning?
Well, Arch should run the ball, Arch should throw the ball. Arch should be a very good college
should
quarterback.
Should run and throw it. That sounds like every quarterback in college
well, that's
football.
What, no, but I know.
Big deal anyway.
But Arch is 6'4" or 5", whatever he is. He's big. He's strong. He should be.
Bryce Underwood is 6'4", 227. Bryce Underwood is a big boy.
Number one overall recruit in the country, Bryce Underwood.
So, and so was Arch.
Arch Manning has.
I've seen Arch.
It's too late, John.
Not
We've already
that.
Seen him.
That's long past. At least Bryce still has.
Arch
the
is about
fact
the same size.
Freshman.
Arch is 6'4", 219. They're both big boys. Yeah. They're both highly recruited big boys.
Yeah.
And Arch,
just
like
denigrating Arch.
You know, I'm denigrating him. We've seen him play.
Yeah. That's sometimes all. Sometimes we see people play.
We get to watch him play.
You know some of those games are on TV, right?
I want to see Arch's S2. That's what I want. I want to see his S2.
I'm not sure
it's going to matter.
You think he's processing quickly?
I don't think he's processing very quickly at all. I don't think he has since he got there.
He's not going to have the opportunity to take that test.
Even in high school against those
well,
little...
not this year.
Okay.
Well,
maybe ever.
Well, you don't have to take it.
Even in high school against those little people, he was not processing quickly.
He didn't
quickly.
Play against little people.
He played against smaller players.
So for those
smaller
who don't know,
people.
So my
they him, say, okay, so him. What are they? Little.
My brother and sister graduated from John Curtis, which is we had moved there, and my brother finished his last 2 years at Curtis. Won a state championship his junior year. Got to the playoffs and lost to Vincent Brisby in the second year. So you have public schools which are terrible in New Orleans.
Yep.
The private schools and the parochial schools are the powerhouses, St. Aug and you know Shaw and John Curtis, things like that. And then you have like
John
Newman.
Curtis.
Newman was. I think almost like a magnet school or something. Randy Livingston went there too, but Eli went there. Newman
saying
is
L.A. I love L.A.
No. Randy Livingston played for the Rockets.
The
went to LSU.
Player.
Oh. That
went
one.
To LSU.
Not
he
your
was
guy,
phenomenal
John.
Before he hurt. Oh, yeah. Before he got hurt. Anyway, actually played for the Rockets for a little bit, but had a devastating knee injury. He was never the same. But the players you play there, they play other little. I don't know if I don't know if it's a private school or some kind of magnet school, but they do not play great competition.
No,
it's like going to Carnegie High School, but if Carnegie High School had a football team, it's or DeBakey High School,
it's a private college prep school.
Yeah. Okay, so it is private.
Yeah.
So they play other teams, but they're not playing. Shaw and John Curtis.
Well,
and
they
stuff
play the
like
Little
that.
Sisters of the Poor. They play the Hadley School for the Blind, but you know, not great competition. Let's get.
Oh, you think a blind school wouldn't be great competition?
It looked like that's who he was playing in that video.
Okay.
Let's get Thomas in here. He's been waiting. Let's go, Thomas. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, boys?
Good.
That Longhorn Judd or Spud should probably listen to himself when he's calling other people white trash. And I mean, I think Longhorn is just scared in general because they're. Dreams of being an SEC and being big top dogs is going to be shattered within a couple of years when they're looking up at the bottom, up from the bottom at Aggie and OU being the top of the SEC. I think it's just scare talk from the little Longhorn, but I'll hang up and listen, boys.
Who the Aggies are going to be up at the top?
That's what he's saying.
All right. Listen, it's hard to argue right now. The Aggies are a better program right now. Better team.
Well, as we call team.
Program.
Yeah. We are, what are we like, six games removed from the Longhorns playing for the semi for a right to play in the national title game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Aggies were right there, too.
Well, the Aggies played the Longhorns for a chance to get in the SEC title game and lost at home.
They were right there, I think.
In a way.
In some way, sure. But they didn't win the games they needed to win.
Not always.
Yeah, so I'm struggling with their better program, but they are having a clearly better season.
Better season.
Yeah.
Better
yeah,
season. Sure. But right now, program.
Well, they get to play each other. We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. All right, Elliot, you'll get in on the other side. But right now, I have to talk about Coors Light. I mean, today is a golf day, and I'm afraid, Coors Light, you're in some trouble. Okay? You're in trouble.
Is that why you were up all night or whatever? Or were you up all night?
I made a comment that you were...
You were up here early getting ready for the show.
I imbibed a little bit last night, yeah.
So were they in trouble yesterday?
They were in trouble. They're in trouble as long as it's not Lent. Every day, Coors Lights are, I mean, I kill off a few. Okay.
Kill off?
Yeah.
He slaughters
Coors Lights now.
Massacres?
Yeah, I destroy them. Yeah. And they got no chance against me, if you want to know the truth.
I believe you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I destroy.
John's Coors Light. Ripping Coors Light families apart.
So, listen, they got some, they're going to have some problems today, okay? They're going to, after I finish them, I crumple up the can and I go, another one. I killed another one here. And I feel great about it, okay? If you're looking to feel great about yourself and about the beer that you're drinking and about being refreshed, cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing, I suggest, it's a suggestion, but I really, really would appreciate it if you've drank cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Climb on, brother.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
They kind of do. Welcome back. 751 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's get Elliot in here. He's been waiting to get on the show. What do you say, Elliot?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Happy to hear you today. I got a comment and a question. The comment is, and they're both in regards to the Jags and the Monday night performance. Did you guys see Liam Cohen's locker room speech? That dude's got some energy. I'm kind of on board. I think he's pretty cool. I know he's a little corny with the Duval stuff, but he's just got that energy you can't really teach. I don't know if you guys saw that, but there's a motivational factor behind that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. But the question I have is,
real quick, I always feel like sometimes locker room speeches are a pretty good indicator of how teams buy in. Like if a guy has a connection with the team and how teams buy in. Some guys are good at it and some guys aren't.
Yeah.
And there are some guys that really, like, you can tell teams, they get buy-in.
It seems to me Mike McDaniel would be very bad at it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I mean,
there's no way he's good.
Getting guys ready. I just don't feel it.
There's no way he's actually good at it.
Win games, score points, which is just what he was supposed to do, and guys were fine. When they don't, then the speech is going to fall flat.
Yeah. Elliot, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah, I totally agree. And I will say, you know who was really good at it was Bill O'Brien. Say what you will about him. You watch his locker room speeches. He had a little bit of tenacity to him as well. You could see some fired upness to him. So, but my question is in regards to Trevor Lawrence and coming out, and Lance, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he was one of the highest-rated prospects besides Andrew Luck and Elway, and there might be a few more. But
correct.
And you watch him on Monday, something just doesn't seem right. He just seems like slow, his release. He's just kind of awkward a little bit. I don't know what you saw in college versus what you're seeing now. I don't know what you rated him at, but just want to see if you could touch on that and confirm or deny what I'm saying, because I was watching it Monday. I'm like, this. I mean, Andrew Luck looks smooth, and then you see this guy, and it just kind of, I don't know, something ain't there. I hang up and listen.
I had a really high grade on him because he had, he has traits, like elite traits. Size, he had pretty good arm strength. He has the ability to run and move, so he was mobile. He had a winning pedigree. You know, there was a lot to like about him, The physical was there, the mobility plus arm, plus pedigree of winning and playing at a high level. It was all there. And then since it's got to the NFL, I don't know. I just never seen a song took the next level. And I'm totally agree with you. I just think what you see is what you get. He overthrows. He's not great throwing deep ball other than that one he completed to Thomas, which is a huge one. But I don't know. Something's missing with Trevor Lawrence. And it's hard to put a finger on. He doesn't throw with great consistent accuracy. I don't think he gets the ball to where he wants to go quickly. I'm really getting to the point where if you got a quick-minded quarterback, you'll always have a chance to win. As long as they have some accuracy. There's other ways of doing it. Josh Allen's the super, you know, physical freak and all that stuff. But if you give me a guy who has a plan before the snap, and then can confirm or alter that plan after the snap, I'll show you a guy that can win in the NFL. And I just feel like Trevor Lawrence doesn't – I just get the feeling defensive coordinators don't have a hard time scheming up against him.
Yeah.
Like Burrow's a guy that thinks quick.
Yeah.
Burrow can beat you with his mind.
So we were talking about locker room speeches. Mike Elko is joining us in 5 minutes. I ran across this. This is Mike Elko's speech. I don't know which it might have been Saturday's game. I don't know. But listen to Mike Elko. Listen to the passion of Coach, who's gonna come on with us in 5 minutes.
11 months ago we sat in a room together and we talked about this moment. That when you get into this moment, you can't just want it. You've got to pay a price to earn it. You've got to pay a price to get on this stage. When you walk down the tunnel, think about everything you've done to prepare for this moment. They have not done what you have done. They are not ready to take this thing where you're willing to take it. Your togetherness is better. Your effort is better. Your culture is better. Go put it on display for 3.5 hours and go get it.
I like it.
Yeah, that's good.
I didn't know. He's got some passion to him.
Oh no, he's got some juice.
Yeah. That's nice. He's going to join us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So you Aggies fans, call your friends, call your neighbors, Reagan, call everybody.
So we've had two guests on. We had our Longhorn guest on, Scott. Longhorn Scott.
And now we got our Aggie guest.
We got our Aggie.
And we got Underdog Fantasy.
Underdog Fantasy, chance for you to so playoff baseball, it's underway. Underdog Fantasy, jump in. Jump in on Underdog Fantasy on playoff baseball as well, because right now that's going on. You can check it out. They've got playoff WNBA, if that's what you want to play into. They've got those stats out there. But remember, it's all about picking higher or lower on statistics that are out there. Yamamoto has 7.5 strikeouts. I like lower, even though Philadelphia does strike out some. you've got Jameson Taillon. Taillon has 2.5 strikeouts. He's actually pitched really well lately. So what I'll do is I'll click him and I'll look at all of his other stats. And I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to go higher than 10.5 pitching outs. higher than 10.5 pitching outs. And that's an example. Every player that's on there, they have multiple stats to choose from. And you pair them together, two, three, four, five, even six players. The more you pick, the higher your payout goes. It goes substantially higher once you get to four, five, and six. And it's a way to play along with the games you're watching. Use your sports knowledge and turn it into real money with Underdog Fantasy. You must download the app, though, to play, and then use promo code Lance on your deposit. And what that's going to do is it's going to get you $100 in bonus funds or entries, and that is as soon as you play your first $5. So it's a great opportunity for you to make money with your sports knowledge, play along with the games you're watching. It makes it so much more fun. And just check out all the different ways they have for you to win with Underdog Fantasy. Download Underdog Fantasy. Use promo code Lance.
Must be 18 plus and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms underscore DFS underscore HTML for details. Consult with your play. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Big color, bigger savings. It's Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale. Get 40% off paints and stains October 17th through the 27th with prices starting at $29.39. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.